Okay, we're ready to begin our part two.
Okay. Hello, my name is Lindsay Restad. I'm with the U.S. Forest Service, and I will be reporting out today on the first 3 years of results from a novel ice storm experiment at the Hubbard Brook Experimental Forest. And I don't have the award for the most icons, but maybe the most co-authors. So I want to acknowledge my co-authors and just say they've all been highly instrumental in the success of this really complex project. So I'd like to start by just saying that I think we're all acutely aware of extreme weather events right now. We're probably all familiar with images like these that are coming out in the aftermath of the hurricanes, the fires in the U.S., in the Caribbean, in Scotland. There's a super typhoon that's hitting Japan right now. And we all know that attribution of these extreme weather events to climate change is difficult at best. But I think many of us who've been around the climate change for the last couple of decades, we know that just about all of the global change models predict that with a warming climate, we're going to have an increase in the frequency and the severity of extreme weather events. We're also increasingly aware that these extreme weather events can have an equal or even greater impact of forested agricultural systems than the slow, kind of gradual increase in temperature and CO2 and changes in moisture. So when we take this combination of the models projecting increase in frequency and severity of these events, certainly beginning to see these play out across the landscape and understanding the impact, there's really kind of a rising urgency to develop tools and approaches to better understand extreme weather events and their impacts. This is a figure that's been around for a while that I like. It basically has our ability to detect extreme weather events on the x-axis, our understanding of the cause on the y-axis, and I think you can see that we have a fairly good understanding of extreme precipitation events, extreme cold waves, heat waves, growing understanding of droughts and hurricanes. But way down here is ice storms. Okay, we have very poor understanding of ice storms. And this is despite the fact that ice storms are a major cause of disturbance in north temperate and boreal forest ecosystems worldwide. These are just images from an ice storm in New England, 1998, China, 2008, Slovenia, 2014. In the United States alone, ice storms account for roughly 60% of winter storm losses. They've caused billions of dollars of insured and uninsured property losses. They're a major cause for disruption of schools, of businesses, of roads, and they're very lethal and cause loss of life. We know something about these events. We know where they are prevalent in some of the ice storm belts on the east coast of the U.S. We know the local and larger scale conditions under which they form. Tends to be warm air overriding extremely cold air. And we know something about the historic return intervals of light icing events, moderate and severe icing events. We also would love to have a crystal ball to know about the future, but there has been some work. Cheng et al. Used statistical downscaling techniques for 14 sites in southeastern Ontario, and their model suggested that there would be a 40 to 85% increase in freezing rain events. If this plays out, this is a big deal for forests in the Northeast. We know a little bit about the effects of ice storms on forests, and most of this is from the Hubbard Brook Experimental Forest, which is the star right here, and this is from the 1998 ice storm. This was an ice storm that affected millions of hectares of forest land in eastern U.S. and southern Canada. It damaged forests at Hubbard Brook down here, primarily in the mid to the higher elevations, and we were able to receive rapid funding from NSF to do post-hoc studies on this storm. Some of the things that we observed a 30% decrease in canopy cover that lasted for about 3 years. We saw residual effects on canopy structure, regeneration, and species composition for up to 8 years. There's significant damage to fine roots, increase in soil temperature, no change in soil moisture or microbial nitrogen dynamics, but a large increase in soil solution and stream water nitrate concentration. This is really the signature effect of the ice storm. So keep that image in mind, because we will come back to that. So after the post hoc studies, we still had a lot of overarching questions. We really want to know what will be the future occurrence and severity of ice storms in our region. And we really want to nail what are the short-term direct and indirect physical and biogeochemical impacts of ice storms, and really getting at what are the longer-term legacy effects on northern hardwood forest ecosystems. So back in 2009-2010, we started thinking about this. We did some icing trials. We did an ice storm pilot experiment, and we were able to get a fairly large ice storm experimental program funded with the National Science Foundation. There are actually five components to this, kind of a theoretical first principles, long-term monitoring, climatic, biogeochemical modeling, broader impacts, but I'm just going to focus on the experiment this year, hopefully come back and talk about these other things in coming years. So we had a checklist of what we thought might happen under icing conditions. No surprise, branch breakage, causing increase in canopy openness, and an increased inputs of fine and coarse woody debris to the forest floor. Increased canopy openness would increase temperature, perhaps decrease soil moisture, and these would increase rates of microbial carbon and nitrogen cycling. The breaking up of the canopy would decrease plant uptake, and all of this would, result in increased soil solution nitrogen leaching. So our approach was to use large plots. We established 10 20 by 30 plots, meter plots in the Humber Brook Valley. These are roughly the size of a basketball court, and we have five treatments replicated on two plots each. These included a zero and basically a low, mid, and high icing applied in 1 year, and a mid icing applied in 2 years, so consecutive icing events. The plots are located in the middle of the Hubbard Brook Valley, shown here. It was a randomized complete block design. The plots are located between the road here, Hubbard Brook River here. And then we also did all of our sampling in an internal 10 meter by 20 meters, so we had a buffer strip around this. We measured, obviously, all kinds of things, and I'll only be able to very briefly touch on some of the ones in yellow here. We started this in 2015, and we spent a year doing pre-manipulation monitoring, and then we did our treatments in 2016 and 2017. And I thought I would share with you what it's like to do an ice storm experiment. So you can see we were successful in creating this suite of ice storms. Looking at results, measured ice accretion, we used two methods. We used calipers, measuring the amount of ice on wooden dowels and these ornaments that we raised up into the canopy. We also cut the arms off the ornaments, brought them back to the lab, and measured the volume. The bar on the left here shows our target amount, and the bars on the right show the amount we actually measured. Bottom line is we did a pretty good job of hitting our target ice accretions. We looked at canopy openness with a couple of different methods. I'm just going to talk about hemispheric photos here. We have pre and post leaf on and pre and post leaf off images. And this just shows leaf on and leaf off, and we were showed, what a surprise, we were able to create these gaps in the canopy. They weren't quite as big as we might have thought. Some of the cameras were below this understory. Some of the sampling was bent over. They continued to leaf out, and so they created their own kind of subcon canopy. Looking at fine woody debris, a lot of that material came down. You can see it here. We collected it in our litter baskets. Kind of a messy graph, but this just shows there is no difference in the plots before the treatments. This one, you can see a nice stepwise increase in fine woody debris proportional to the treatments. There was no change in the spring, summer, or fall after our first year of treatments. And again, you see this pulse of fine woody debris after our second year of treatments. Similar with coarse woody debris, I only have 1 year here right now. The open bars are the pre-treatment, no significant difference before the treatments. And again, you see this pulse of coarse woody debris in our plots. Soil temperature and moisture, we had 6 probes at 10 and 30 centimeter depth in all the plots. You see the nice seasonal trends here, a lot more variability in the moisture. Overall, we did see significant increase in soil temperature. This is easier to see from just one date, about 5.5 to 1 degree C. A lot of microsite variability, as you can imagine. Looking at microbial processes, we saw this increase in soil temperature, but we really saw virtually no change in microbial carbon and nitrogen cycling. This is nitrification, similar graph for ammonification, no change. Soil respiration, maybe a slight depression in the high icing plots, but very subtle. And this is litter decomposition. This is actually the initial amount of carbon, and absolutely no change in carbon loss after 1 year. So not a lot of change in microbial cycling of carbon and nitrogen. And surprisingly, this is our soil solution nitrogen in the different treatments. We see some seasonal trends, but absolutely no difference between the treatments. Very little nitrogen coming out of the soils here. Looking at plant uptake, this is fine root growth. We did see a significant decline in fine root biomass in root ingrowth cores. But that was somewhat kind of balanced by a slight increase in foliar nitrogen in the high treatment plots compared to the control. So the story about whether plant uptake of nitrogen has been changed is still in the works here. So I wanted to revisit our hypotheses. So we were able to document and measure branch breakage and an increase in canopy openness. We were able to measure and quantify increased inputs of coarse and fine woody debris to the forest floor. We did see a significant increase in soil temperature, but no a detectable change in soil moisture. We really haven't seen much of a difference to date in microbial processing of carbon and nitrogen. The story about decreased plant uptake is still on the drawing board. We need to do the mass balance of roots versus canopy uptake. And surprisingly, we did not see a change in soil solution nitrogen leaching. So I just wanted to come back to these two graphs. This is what I showed you in the beginning. This is nitrate concentrations in soil solutions following the 1998 ice storm. Again, that signature pulse of nitrogen that lasted for about 3 years. And then this is our graphs here, and absolutely nothing going on with the nitrogen study. So is that an experimental artifact, or has the nitrogen cycle actually changed at Hubbard Brook over this period of time? So lots of questions, lots more work, but I'd like to end by acknowledging, again, the many PIs involved in the various components of this project, the absolutely tremendous field crews that we've had working all 3 years of this study, and all the volunteer Hubbard Brook icers that came out to help with the actual icing experiment. That took about 30 people in the lab, outside, icing, EMTs, lots of folks. And we actually have, I'm going to embarrass him, but Jeff Schwaner is in the room, who is our lead ice storm technician for the first 2 years. So he just did a tremendous job in organizing this all safely and efficiently. And then I'd like to acknowledge funding from the National Science Foundation and the U.S. Forest Service. So thank you very much.